Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by Hagen Oaks, America's most awarded golf facility, and Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome to another edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Thanks for joining us this week again. I am Frank LaRosa alongside Scott Marsh, and we want to talk about golf. We're going to talk about golf today with a number of guests, but first, Scott, we had an interesting round of golf this past weekend at Bing Maloney, and I think we were both really impressed with the conditioning and the greens over there.
Yeah, you know, Bing Maloney, the greens are in amazing shape, and that course gets so much play. But again, it's part of Morton Golf, and just the way they take care of the course is really fabulous. I mean, the challenge for me was just getting to the greens. It was pretty windy when we played on Monday, and so it was a good challenge. I found a lot of the woods I didn't realize Bing Maloney had, but once I got to the greens, it was certainly a great experience.
You know, it's interesting you talk about playing in the wind. It almost seems like, you know, that's our new normal. I mean, it's been so windy this year, and it's tougher to play in the wind. I'd rather play in the rain than the wind, to tell you the truth. But, you know, I think we're going to have to get used to it.
You're right. The wind makes it really, really difficult. And I'm with you. I'd much rather play in rain and wind. But, you know, that's, I guess you're right. That's going to be par for the course here. So got to get used to it.
We are going to lead off the show today with Russ King. Russ is an old friend and the NorCal rep for Callaway Golf. And Russ has been with the company a significant number of years. And we're going to talk about their new line of Rogue clubs and probably even talk a little bit about golf balls.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to him. I don't think there's a rep who's more knowledgeable about his product line than Russ. Always learn something from him. So it'll be great to talk to him. And just Callaway's honestly one of the great American companies with what they've done.
Yeah, a real success story. Jennifer Morton, who is the director of marketing and sales for the Association of Golf Merchandisers and their 800 members around the world, will join us to talk about a little bit about the AGM, but mostly we're going to talk about Father's Day gifts and some thoughts and ideas she might have that are probably a little bit out of the ordinary and maybe some things we didn't think about.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully the LaRosa family, there we go, is listening so they can get good ideas for Father's and Grandfather's Day here.
I like that idea. I hadn't even thought about that. Mike McGrath, who is the general manager at Bing Maloney Golf Course that we just spoke to or talked about, will be with us to talk about all the improvements they are making there. And, you know, not the least of which is the conditioning that you and I just spoke about, but they're doing a lot on their driving range as well. And Mike's been there, probably just under 4 years, but the upgrades and the changes that he's been able to make have been remarkable, really.
They put a lot of money into that facility, as you know, and you know, the driving range open at night makes it really convenient for people too. And there's so many stalls out there. I mean, it's a great place to go work on your game.
Yeah, when you figure the course is 70 years old, there's a lot of things that need to be upgraded and redone, and they're certainly working on it.
Yes, they are.
So that's our show for today, and we're going to take a little break and talk about some people that help us bring you the show, and we'll be right back with Russ King right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
We are back here at the Golf to Go Radio Show. I'm Frank LaRosa, along with Scott Marsh, and with us now is Russ King. Russ is the NorCal rep for Callaway Golf, and you know, when I say NorCal rep, that really ought to all be in capital letters. Russ has been with the company. There may be one or two people in the company that have been there longer, but Russ, welcome to the show, and congratulations on your tenure with Callaway.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate that. Good morning. This is finishing up. I'm on year 30, so seen a lot of changes, a lot of cultural changes, a lot of product changes, but it has been overall a really fun ride. Been a great company to spend my career with.
You know, when you mentioned the changes that have happened, you know, throughout the history of the company, there have been some highs, there have been some lows, but boy, things are really rolling along smoothly right now.
Yeah, it's been great. So, you know, working for Ely Callaway back in the 90s, he was such a dynamic individual with the development of the original Big Bertha You know, just fantastic years, a real product guy. And we got that again with Chip Brewer, who came in 2013 and just transformed the company. Interesting. We were never allowed to see R&D, even the sales reps that had been there with a lot of tenure. We were never in R&D. They always kept it locked up. And Chip came right in his first year. We had our first sales meeting in the R&D department. He's like, this is best asset in the golf industry. It's underutilized. Everybody should know about it. Opened it all up and just turned around the budgets and really blew up the R&D team. And it was all about product from then on out. And yeah, turned the company around really. And he had a 5-year plan. We were at number 4, I think, in market share. And within 5 years, he had us to the number 1 golf company in the industry. It's pretty amazing.
That's remarkable. And he is a dynamic guy.
Yeah, he is.
Hang on tight when he's around.
Yeah. He's one of those guys you're glad to have on your team.
You mentioned the Big Bertha, which, you know, really kind of got things started. But boy, if Edie were around to see what changes and developments have been made over the years, even he would be surprised, I'm sure. The current product is the Rogue ST Max. And you guys have packed pretty much all the technology that you've come up with, including artificial intelligence, into this line of drivers. And it's another winner for you.
Yeah, the drivers, the technology has come so far. It's amazing. And, you know, they've gotten expensive, but there's so much that goes into them. You know, I think with the Rogue ST Max driver, the 3 key technologies that kind of differentiate us from the competitors are 1, the speed frame. So that was really a unique breakthrough back in 2017. The original jailbreak was on the 2017 Epic driver, and that was a technology that put 2 titanium rods directly behind the face to basically eliminate distortion of the head through the crown of the sole, and it redirected all that energy back into the golf ball, and it was really a breakthrough technology. So we've kind of evolutionized that technology for a while, and now with the speed frame, instead of those 2 bars, we have a, you know, a better process to connect more of the crown, more of the sole, and the sweet spot's more horizontal now instead of vertical. That's probably the biggest breakthrough technology. We also have a tungsten weight cartridge in the back, and then our AI face. So those 3 technologies make the driver a lot more faster off center. Most of the drivers that are out there are really good on center punches, but it's making the driver, you know, really perform off center where we think we shine.
It basically making our misses better is what you're saying.
Making right? The misses better. Yeah. I mean, just 5-6 years ago, if you were a couple of millimeters off the center exponentially, your ball speed would just drop off tremendously. And so would your forgiveness. And now we can go almost a 1/2 inch off center towards the heel and the toe. And what the engineers call spin robustness, which is trying to match the ball speed and spin as far as possible off center, almost doesn't change up to a 1/2 inch. It's just amazing.
You know, when I first heard about the AI, the artificial intelligence that Callaway was using, and there was some incredible number about, you know, how long it would have taken if they'd have had a bunch of engineers sitting around in a lab trying to figure out these different combinations. And it was remarkable what you guys were able to come up with.
Yeah, Alan Hocknell, when he first came into the sales meeting to introduce, you know, the first driver with AI face, the Epic Flash, but he was wearing a Farmade t-shirt, and he came in to really make an impact on us on the calculations that these supercomputers are able to do. And these computers are, you know, I should say computer, we're the only one in the industry with it. It's like a Cray mainframe computer. We've got almost $12 million into it, but the t-shirt he was wearing, he said the calculations to develop the first face, he looked at our computers in the sales meeting. He said, you all have pretty advanced Intel chips in your Microsoft computers, but if your computers were to do the calculations that our supercomputer did for this phase, it would have had to start in 1986, referring to the shirt and the concert. So yeah, but it was mind-boggling. And and that would make virtually back then 30 or 40,000 prototypes, and now the computer can do over 1 million. So it changes elements of the driver, it tests itself, it'll correct things, and it'll just go through these millions of equations to find ball speed as far off the center as possible. So, and we can even have it, you know, modify it to sound. So if you looked at a cutaway of the driver, there's all kinds of ridges and things that don't make sense to the eye, but we can give it a pitch and an audio we want at impact, and it'll chase that sound to make the driver sound the way we want. So it's really amazing. Things that the human engineers just can't do.
Right. We're talking with Russ King. He's the NorCal rep for Callaway Golf. You know, we talk about the drivers all the time because everybody wants to hit the ball farther. And certainly your company is doing all they can to help us do that. But, you know, once we've hit that shot, now we got to get to the green. And your line of rogue irons is really something to behold.
Yeah, the iron line, again, we incorporated artificial intelligence in the faces of the irons and tungsten. So those two key elements let us make irons now that, again, are longer than anything we've had in the past and more forgiving. Even in the pro irons, our new Rogue ST Pro has got a nice, real traditional look for the people that love that old blade look, but it's a hollow body. So it's loaded with tungsten. And just to give you an idea, that the Rogue ST Max irons and the Rogue Pro both have about 250% more tungsten than we just had last year in the Maverick line of irons. So it's more tungsten than we've ever used, but the tungsten gives the engineers a lot of discretion to control center of gravity, launch, spin, and forgiveness of the iron. And so those things just change the dynamics of the iron completely. So even in the Apex line, where you have forged face clubs, they're just a lot more forgiving than they were just a few years ago.
You know, Russ, I'm always amazed when I talk to you because you can talk technology in terms that, you know, that we mortals can understand. And I appreciate your ability to explain what Callaway is doing for, you know, for those of us that really just want to kind of hit the ball down the fairway and keep playing and have fun. And ultimately, that's, you know, that's what the whole process is all about, helping us have some more fun on the golf course.
Yep, that's what we want the end product to accomplish. So to be able to go out and take a golf club out and hit it a little better, a little farther, and hit more greens than you did with the previous set. So we always try to make them a little bit better.
You have another line of irons, the Apex irons as well.
Yeah, the Apex is the top of our food chain for forged forgiving irons. So it's been a real successful line for us. This new one, like I said, incorporates a lot more tungsten waiting for forgiveness and distance and AI faces, which we just put into the forged Apex line just a couple years ago. So if you want to have that nice forged feel and impact over stainless steel, which is what the Rogue ST Max line is made of, then the Apex line is your setup.
You know, I was looking on the website before we sat down to talk, and I noticed your ball selection tool. Picking a golf ball, you know, many of us do it for different ways. Our favorite player plays this, and we play that. And you know, I kind of like the look of this one. And really, the golf ball is another piece of equipment that in many ways needs to be fitted just like the golf clubs. And your ball selection tool kind of helps that process.
Yeah, it's so true, Frank. Balls are really confusing. And I think for the consumers, too, they don't realize how much R&D and money goes into golf balls. But it gets tricky to select golf balls. So our premium ball, the Chrome Soft, comes in three models, the Chrome Soft, Chrome Soft X, Chrome Soft XLS, which is kind of a new introduction to low spin. And the original Chrome Soft was kind of a breakthrough because most of the tour balls out there were a little on the firm side and they spun quite a bit. And the only drawback to most average golfers with a urethane covered tour ball is that if you're not squared impact with the driver, they will develop a lot of side spin and it makes the ball fairly unforgiving. Where Chrome Soft was a very, very soft compression ball, where most of the tour balls were in the 90 to 105 range, Chrome Soft came out in the high 60s on a compression scale. Less compression off the driver, less spin. It stayed in the air longer, and it was not as prone to side spin. So it was a more forgiving tour ball. And around the green with the wedge and the putter, there was nothing like it. It had just fantastic feel. So our ball market share before Chrome Soft was not quite 5%, and we just went over the 23% mark last year with Chrome Soft. So it's been a huge success. But on tour, you know, you take the tour pros just last weekend, Sam Burns just won. Most of the guys on tour think that the Chrome Soft X is the best ball ever developed for players, accomplished players. It's just, it's more controllable. They can shape shots, draws, you know, and cuts when they want with the Chrome Soft X. And then for people that just, consumers that want to hit the ball just long and straight, better players, we have the Chrome Soft XLS. And that's not going to give you the ability to move the ball through the air quite as easy, but it's our longest tour ball. and will just hit the ball straighter than most of the balls out there.
Scott, you've got all those shots. You can fade it when you want to. And...
Oh, absolutely, Frank. No doubt about it. Boy, I feel like I'm going to school here. This has been really, really interesting, Ross. I appreciate your time here. Just kind of a follow-up on the golf balls, because I've used the Chrome Soft Callaway balls, and I really like them. And I've always wondered, my friends, you know, use the triple track technology with the three lines. And I'm just curious, maybe the research, if there is behind that in terms of how that's supposed to help with a visual for making a putt, and even just things if the color coordination is picked in a certain way to help. I'm just curious if you could shed any light on that.
No, thanks for bringing it up, Scott. That was interesting technology that's been out there for a long time, and we just applied it to a golf ball. It was based, not to gloss you over, but hyper vernier acuity. It's a crazy reaction your brain has to seeing parallel lines. And it's really only effective on short putts. So those three lines, when jets come land on an aircraft carrier, they put the same lines out on the deck in the same colors. It's just something your brain reacts to. And for putts inside 20 feet, when you put those three lines down, it will help your eye line the ball up straight to the hole. Not as effective on longer putts, but for shorter putts, for a lot of people, it's completely changed their putting game.
Wow. No, that's interesting that I didn't realize that.
It's been out there for a while, and it's a scientific proven fact that those lines and those colors do help your eye see in a directional manner for short distances. It's pretty incredible.
That is incredible. I have to congratulate you on being, you know, at a company for 30 years. That says a lot. And just maybe you can share with us why you've been able to stay at Callaway over all the years. As Frank said, there's been some ups, there's been some downs, but what's kept you at Callaway throughout the entire tenure of your career?
You know, it's just been a great brand to be associated with, Scott. It's been fantastic. And when you're part of a company for this long, you know, it's half of my life, and it becomes personal, and you take a lot of pride in the brand. And I've been fortunate to be in a great territory too. Northern California is a great golf market. Hagen Oaks, as we're all familiar with, is one of our best accounts in the United States and one of the best golf operators in the United States. It's great to have them as one of my main doors here to be able to service. So it's, you know, I'm just lucky to be in a great area with a great company. So I'm going to ride it out as long as I can.
You know, Scott is absolutely right. And I don't want to belabor the point, but again, 30 years with Callaway, and you know, and to be there for the good times and the bad times, and to be there now with, you know, with the really good times, it's got to be not only personally gratifying, but professionally as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It is. And it's fun to have the industry back. I mean, I think most of us were aware that golf was on the wrong trajectory for a long time there, just a few years ago. And nobody saw that the pandemic was going to be this good for the golf industry. And we even thought there might be a little post-pandemic pullback. And we're not seeing that at all. Public play, private play, golf retail sales on green grass and off course specialty are all at record levels. And they haven't showed any signs of slowing down. So I think there's more people enjoying the game than there ever were before. It's great. So I think the golf industry is going to be healthy for a while.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And I'm just curious, I know supply chain's been tough for so many companies and so many industries, but just for somebody who might be looking to get fitted in some Callaway clubs, what could they expect in terms of a turnaround at this point in terms of being able to get a set in their hands?
You know, people are going to think that I primed you for that question, Scott. Not. So this, I'm glad you brought that up, because this was just lucky on our part, but Chip Brewer did not want to be at the mercy of vendors over in Asia. So 6 years ago, we invested in our own foundry that we own in Vietnam to do all our casting of all our heads. Most of our competitors are at the mercy of, you know, big, massive forging houses. And we are able to control our own production. We don't have any of the problems that some of our competitors have had. If you order a set of Apex irons on a Monday right now from one of our local authorized dealers, you might have that set by Friday or the following Monday.
Wow. Wow. That's been amazing. That is amazing.
So iron sets are showing up right now. If the parts are all available, shaft and grip, they're going out the door in 2 to 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, and that was something that just paid off in spades for us during the pandemic, because when the factory shut down over there, as you know, it put everybody behind months. It was just brutal. So, but right now we're shipping custom drivers and iron sets within a week or two. It's been fantastic.
Much more to talk about with Russ. Obviously not today, as our time has come to an end, but the Callaway story goes on and on, and Russ King goes on and on. So we appreciate you spending some time with us today. And congratulations on your tenure with Callaway. If you want more information, you can bump into Russ at one of his accounts or go to callawaygolf.com. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. We'll be back right after this with Jennifer Morton to talk about Father's Day gifts.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sports 1140 KHDK with Scott Marsh. I'm Frank LaRosa, and we are welcoming Jennifer Morton. Jennifer is the Director of Marketing and Sales for the AGM. Now, the AGM stands for Association of Golf Merchandisers, which is a big mouthful, and she has a very big job. Jennifer is one of these people that figured out what social media is all about and figured out how to make it work. And I think she does a bit of that in this job as well. Jennifer, welcome to Golf to Go Radio Hour.
Hey, thanks so much for inviting me on.
Absolutely. What is the Association of Golf Merchandisers, and what is your role with them?
So the Association of Golf Merchandisers, we are a non-for-profit golf organization, and our main goals are to enhance relationships, elevate retail, and educate always. So breaking that down, basically, we are looking to enhance the profitability, merchandising skills, and retail success for golf retailers, not just across the country, but worldwide. We accomplish this by enhancing communication between our vendor partners, which are our brand partners, and golf shop buyers, so that both sides of the table are speaking the same language.
You know, I think that we all sort of assume, well, you're in business, you probably ought to know how to do all these things. And many businesses, you know, run small, and others are bigger and have people and can afford to do training. So having an association like yours to provide that kind of stuff is probably pretty exciting for some of those smaller organizations.
You know, what I think's really nice is the AGM fits a pretty nice niche in the market, in that we do everything with a main focus on education. Over the course of the year, we typically have at least 40 either free or paid educational programs. And you're right, we do meet that smaller retailer. We have over 800 merchandiser members that are buying for about 1,500 facilities worldwide, with retail sales just about approaching $1 billion in sales.
Did you say 800 members now?
Yeah. We've grown almost 200 in the last 2 years.
Wow. She also said 1 billion, Frank, as well.
Yeah the 1 billion is pretty impressive. But the reason I reacted to the number, Scott, is I remember in the beginning when the organization was formed, and, you know, when they got to 100 members, they were pretty excited. And boy, eight times that and $1 billion, those are remarkable numbers. Congratulations to you and the organization.
Thank you. It's been fun to see the growth in the short time that I've been with them.
So as the director of marketing and sales, my guess is that that helps you. You're supposed to market the organization to let people know that the organization exists and what it can do. And the sales part is maybe to get more partners. Is that how that all works?
Yes, of course. I'm kind of right in that middle of trying to promote all of our educational programs, get more merchandiser members, intrigue the vendor partners to come partner with us, and then really try to promote those relationships to get as much information as we can out to everybody.
You know, that's the work portion of it, and obviously, as we alluded to, it's very important to so many organizations to keep them viable. It's an interesting time in our history for you to be doing this with golf. So, you know, such an incredible growth spike in the past couple of years. So all of that is kind of working in your favor. But the where I was headed was the fun part of your job is meeting with these vendors and having the opportunity to kind of see what's about to come out before you know the rest of us get to see it. That's the exciting part of your job, I would think.
Absolutely. It's been really amazing opportunity to work with the brands and kind of do more of that B2B where you can see what's coming in the next few months to get those pre-orders in early. So that's been a unique opportunity for me these last few months as well.
You know, we are approaching Father's Day, and one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, besides introducing you to our audience, is to maybe help us with that age-old question. You know, what do you get Dad? You know, and what do you get Dad that's a golfer, especially if he's got all the golf socks he needs? You know, we just alluded to some of the new things that that you've had a chance to see. Let's start at the bottom. What, you know, what should we be looking at, you know, for Dad, maybe in the footwear category?
So I would suggest everyone go and check out a company called Duca del Cosma. I'm going to kind of maybe go around the obvious choices here and the brands we've all heard of and maybe dive us a little deeper. Duca del Cosma is a fabulous European brand. They're a premium brand that really features Italian design with top quality manufacturing and a lot of handcrafting to them. Just a quick little piece of trivia. Duca del Cosma was the very first brand to introduce a spikeless golf shoe. Wow. And they offer over, yeah, it's kind of cool, right? They offer over 150 styles. They just introduced a new one called the Churchill Royal Blue Golf Shoe. And it's absolutely stunningly gorgeous. I think you would really love this particular shoe, Frank.
Well, you know, how can you not love an Italian company, number one, with Italian shoes? So, but you really surprised me. You know, I had the impression that they were just kind of a small little company. You said 150 styles. Is that what you said?
They have 150 styles and they're being sold in over 40 different countries.
Wow. Remarkable. They are very comfortable shoes, I will admit. And I would say they're not for everybody because they have some styles that, you know, you have to have a little confidence if you step out on the golf course wearing some of their styles, right?
Absolutely. They're definitely a contemporary line for the modern golfer.
I like that. Is that how you'd describe yourself, Scott?
Oh, very much so. But Frank, I mean, I would love to see your closet of golf shoes because I don't think I've seen you play in the same pair of golf shoes for consecutive rounds. So if anybody knows golf shoes, it's you.
Let's talk about apparel. Did we finish with shoes? Did you have more shoes or was that it?
That's the one
yeah.
I thought we would.
Yeah, I would. That was a good one. Let's talk about apparel for dads.
Okay, so I have a couple of different companies that I'm just going to mention. There's one called George Roth. George Roth Los Angeles, and if anyone goes and looks that up, George is spelled G-E-O-R-G. There's no E on the end. They offer the most fabulous stretch belt, including this leather option. And it's available in just this massive assortment of sizes and colors. The reason why I start with them is I know that for some people, when you're going to buy a gift for your dad or your boyfriend or your husband, sizing isn't always easy. You don't always know what size to get people. And so it's pretty easy to figure out what size pant your loved one is wearing. My quick tip on that though is let's say dad has a size 34 waist, you should size up and get a size 36 belt. I'm just telling the ladies out there that is not information I would have natively known. So just wanted to share that with your viewers. Another company that is just on fire right now is a company called Swett Taylor. That's S-W-E-T. Nobody spells their brands anymore the way that I think we would automatically expect. But hoodies and joggers are super trendy right now on the golf course. And this company definitely takes that athleisure wear for men and really has this very nice, relaxed and comfortable style that you can wear on and off the golf course. Something a little bit more traditional of a brand would be Seven Diamonds, but that's also a newer brand that's out here. It's only been in the golf industry for about 3 years. And I'm just loving their styles and their designs. And it's another brand that you really can take from the golf course to the boardroom.
And when we're talking about some of these names that may not be spelled correctly, the great thing about Google is that probably we'll find it anyway. So we've got that going for us. We're talking with Jennifer Morton.
Google can find anything, right?
Yeah. Jennifer Morton is Director of Marketing and Sales for the Association of Golf Merchandisers, representing 800 vendor partners across the world. All right, let's get up to headwear. You got something there?
I didn't pull anything directly from headwear. I did have a company that might be a little bit close. It's called Subtle Patriot. I'm hoping they have hats, actually, as we're talking about this. The reason I thought about them was due to their patriotic golf bags. If you have someone in your family that's a military vet, a portion of all sales from this company go to support military veterans. Another thing I thought was really cool with them is they offer a unique Velcro patch that you can have personalized. You could have World's Greatest Dad written on this patch that you can then place on golf bags, travel bags, travel accessories, anything you want. And I thought it was kind of a neat opportunity and a neat idea to give a little personal touch to some travel gear.
Yeah, that's cool. How about accessories?
Okay, I mean,
that's a pretty wide area.
I know, you're getting me on this one. I have a couple. Sunday Golf has just amazing golf bags. They are these lightweight Sunday Golf bags that are in nice colors, nice fabrications. They're super lightweight. They're smaller than your traditional golf bag. They're not intended to carry a full set, but if your dad, husband, whoever likes to maybe go out and practice on the driving range, their brand new Loma XL bag can carry up to 8 clubs. It has a 3-way divider and it only weighs 3.4 pounds. So whether you want to go play 9 holes on the course or, you know, just pack a couple of things to go hit on the driving range, this kind of removes a lot of the weight.
I like that. We're not even going to get into equipment because, the equipment and golf balls are, pretty personal things, but gift certificates always work there. Scott, what piqued your interest?
Boy, everything. I mean, Father's Day, it's such a great day upcoming. I can't think of better gifts than golf gifts. This doesn't really fit right now, but you were talking about the patriotic stuff. And with July 4th coming up, that's just another great reason to make that a Father's Day gift. I was thinking just something unique that I like to wear, especially in the winter months, are the ski knit caps. And right now everybody's thinking just hats and everything with summertime and visors and all of that. But that, to me, that's always kind of a fun gift too. And of course, head covers this time of year for Father's Day, something personalized, are always great gifts too. Those kind of knickknack type things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a new company out called Birdie Baloo. And talking about when you said the patriotic thing, I just thought, ooh, this is something that got me. Is they just released a golf cart seat cover there that comes in, there's a few different plaids, but there's also this patriotic flag design and style that one would be great for dads. It would be great for fathers or would be great for 4th of July. And it's good. And I mean, it's one of those things that's great in the hot or the cold.
Lots of great ideas for Father's Day. And Jennifer Morton from the Association of Golf Merchandisers probably has more. And we could fill a whole hour talking about Father's Day gifts. But time is our enemy in this particular instance. So, Jennifer, I can't thank you enough for spending some time with Scott and me here on the Golf to Go Radio Hour. And, you know, I'm guessing that the, you know, the men in your life are probably going to get some really cool gifts because you've got your finger on it right there.
I've done my research, that's for sure.
Appreciate it. Thanks for spending time with us. And we'll get with you more down the road. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. We'll be back right after these messages.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
The Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sports 1140 KHDK with Frank LaRosa here and Scott Marsh alongside. And we are going to welcome Mr. Mike McGrath. Mike is the general manager at Bing Maloney Golf Course. Scott and I had a chance to play there this past weekend. And if we looked at each other and went, we got to get Mike on the air. We got to talk about this golf course. We had an incredible time, and the conditioning of the course, Scott, was unlike I've seen. And I've been playing there a long time.
It's amazing shape. I was so impressed. The greens are just kept immaculately. And we know how many rounds that course gets. It's one of the most popular courses in Sacramento. And the way they're able to keep the greens in great shape, I can't wait to talk to Mike about it.
Mike has been there 3.5 years. Mike, it seems like it's been, you know, just a few short months that you've been there. I mean, what a time you've had with the pandemic and all the improvements you've made, and you're just keeping very busy. First of all, welcome to the show, and congratulations on everything you're doing at Bing.
Well, Frank, Scott, I appreciate it, guys. It's a pleasure being on here with you, and boy, you're right, it has flown by. With all the changes we've seen, not only here at the golf course, but just in the golf industry alone. It's been an exciting time, and hope to keep it going for a long time in the future.
Mike, you know, you've made so many improvements there, and we're going to talk about them. But, you know, from your point of view, what, you know, of all of the things you've been able to accomplish, what, you know, when you lay your head on the pillow at night, what makes you most proud? What do you think, boy, that was something we really needed to do?
Well, I would probably have to say at this point, it would be the project that we just completed, which is this big overhaul of our driving range operation and really just the overall customer experience down there. My background, I got started in golf working with my dad out on the driving range. I did that in the summers when I was in high school. And then early in my 20s, I was given an opportunity to manage a big practice facility in the Bay Area. And so it's really at the heart of what I do. When I first got here, you know, the place had a lot of work that needed to be done. The field itself, the irrigation system, had seen some trouble over the years, and just I think the overall experience that the customers were having down there wasn't as good as it could be, wasn't as consistent as it could be. And so this project we just completed, I think, really changes the overall experience for the customer, you know, whether they're playing golf or whether they just come out here to practice. And it also enhances the beauty of the place rather than a nice dirt field out there. We've got a nice grass field. And so just the entrance, everything, it's much more comfortable, much better looking.
You know, we got to the range about 9:30 in the morning, and we had trouble finding a stall. I mean, you've really improved the customer experience, as you say, and obviously it's translating into people coming out there and hitting balls.
Oh, definitely. We've always got room for more. Don't get me wrong. It's, you know, what this has allowed us to do really is dramatically increase the amount of balls that we have in circulation. And so what that's going to do for the customers that come out here, just give them a much better quality of golf ball throughout their bucket. And to me, me personally, that is what I enjoy most when I'm hitting balls. I want to see a golf ball that is in good shape and somewhat responds the way our golf balls do out on the golf course. And so Yeah, I think it's going to be a big improvement going forward in the way that we can operate out there and just be more consistent.
Yeah, that's one of the first things I noticed. The balls were clean. They almost look brand new. Maybe they are brand new. I don't know how often you replace them, but you know, the new washing system certainly makes a huge difference. And the balls, you know, every one of them were ready to go. So that was really cool. Congratulations.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a challenging project. It took us quite a long time, but we're really happy so far with the end result.
You know, Scott referred to the greens, and as our group kind of went around the course, you know, you'd think we'd get tired of saying, boy, what a great green, boy, what a great green. But, you know, consistency seems to be what you're looking for. And boy, you're sure getting it. The greens were remarkable. I mean, it was hard to find a ball mark, you know, because they were hard enough that they were rolling, not so much that they would roll off the green when you hit them, but you know, the putts roll true. So what are you doing to make those greens look as good as they are?
Well, basically we've got, as I've talked to you about before, a very, very strong maintenance staff, led by a very, very strong superintendent, Muhammad Ali. He's been here a little over 4 years now, and I think we're just now starting to feel, you know, the results of all the work that he's put in. One thing, you know, that's important to note is that this golf course, we're celebrating our 70th year here, and the irrigation system that is underground that our customers don't see is also 70 years old. It is a massive challenge, and we just are very lucky to have a very skilled staff. On top of that, we've got a great group of volunteers that really take ownership and take a lot of pride in this golf course. And they are very good at being out there on a daily basis, fixing ball marks on the greens, just trying to make the putting surface as good and as consistently good as we can.
Yeah, well, no argument here. Scott, what your overall impressions as we played the other day?
Well, obviously the greens were part of it too, and just the different cuts of grass from the first cut to the second cut. I mean, it was well trimmed, and obviously if you get out into the second cut of rough, I mean, you're having some tough swings at times. And as we talked about, the tree lines are certainly something you have to take into account when you come out there and play. It's a challenging round for a public course.
It is not easy. You're right. And when you get, I wasn't out here yesterday, unfortunately, I didn't get to see you guys, but when you get any type of breeze like we have today,
yes,
those fairways, you know, you certain holes like number 7, number 17 can get really tight on you. You know, the trees come into play. I do want to say that is also something that we're working on. We've got a lot of tree work planned through the year, just to shape some of the fairways out a little bit better and also help with, you know, the turf in some of those areas, get a little more sunlight in there and stuff like that.
You know, when you talk about, you know, the difficulty may have been more in our minds than really in playing, because on a holiday weekend, it played what you would call slow, I guess, in my mind. But as I looked at my watch, it was a 4.5 hour round on a holiday weekend. That was pretty good, I thought.
Yes, that is, you know, something we've been fortunate nearly the whole time that I've been here. And I think a little bit of that, obviously, credit goes to our volunteer staff and our player assistants that are out on the golf course and that are you know, on the first tee controlling the play. But we consistently have a pretty good, you know, pace of play under 4 hours, oftentimes, you know, under 3.5 the first couple hours of the morning, and you can move along this place pretty well.
Yeah, that's great. And I noticed you've done some work in the pro shop as well, bright and tidy in there.
Oh, definitely. We still have a little bit, you know, we could do some more. We face some challenges still with the supply chain and some of that stuff coming out of, you know, all the COVID restrictions. Coupled with all the new players to the game. And so we're trying to, you know, grow the shop even more and give, again, a more overall, you know, a greater overall experience for the customers. And I think our golf shop is an area that will continue to improve.
You know, you talked about the improvements that you have planned for the golf course start with the greens, and you work backwards. And I really thought that was an interesting approach, and not unlike an approach that, you know, good golfers will take to playing their round, backing up from the greens. But, you know, what have you got planned now that, you know, the greens seem to be where you want them to be?
Well, I would say they're basically, our focus is going forward is really on consistency and then trying to, you know, create a level of expectation that our greens are going to roll like they did for you yesterday and then meet those expectations going forward. And so what we want to do is continue to see some improvement in our greens, but really have that start to stretch back down the fairways, down to the tee boxes. We've invested in some new core equipment where we can go out and aerify our fairways and our tee boxes a lot more often, and it doesn't have an impact on our play those days. And the same thing, we've got some new equipment where we can take basically do some cores out of our greens and stuff that is not very intrusive at all. You can hardly notice it. And so it's really just expanding some of the programs that Ali has introduced here in the last couple of years and, you know, starting to do them on a more consistent basis.
We're talking with Mike McGrath, general manager at Bing Maloney Golf Course. Bing Maloney is a municipal golf course owned by the city of Sacramento. You know, so many professional golfers got their starts on a muni. In your mind, what's the importance of having municipal golf here in Sacramento?
Oh, boy, oh, boy. I think if we're talking about the future of the game, I think, I don't know what the percentage would be, but virtually everybody I know, you know, in one way or another, got their first introductions to the game in that way. I think for us specifically here at Big Maloney, I think our role as a municipal golf course is to be the ones that break down some of those barriers that traditionally have kept golfers away from the game. Maybe they didn't feel as comfortable or as welcome or didn't understand it as much. I think that's the role for the Muni Golf Course and Bing Maloney, especially going into the future. What we've been handed in the last couple of years is an influx of new players, a renewed interest in the game. And so I think if we're going to sustain that going forward, if the game is going to survive and prosper, the municipal golf throughout the state of California and throughout the country is going to be the driver in that.
And Mike, of course, you work with Morton Golf, who runs the course. What's it like to work with the Morton Golf team?
Oh, it's been wonderful. I can't say enough. I come from a similar background. You know, a family type environment, a bunch of golfers in the family that are also in the business. And so when I came over here, I was familiar with these guys. It was an opportunity to work with some of the best in the business, and be a sponge and learn more. And in the time I've been here, I've been with them for almost 4 years now. It's just been a pleasure. The amount of knowledge that we are surrounded by in this company is just, it's not seen anywhere else. And so for me, it's just been a pleasure. It's hard to even put into words what a good fit it has been. And I think our philosophies and our ideas about the game of golf and the business of golf are really similar to where I came from.
Yeah. Now you have the championship 18 hole course, and you know, it was great playing that yesterday. I have to admit, it's the first time I've played the 18 hole course in a while. It's been years, but I play the executive 9 course probably more. I have friends who love to go out there and just play the 9 hole side of it. And I know there's a lot of people who enjoy just doing that.
Oh, it's one of the gems, I think, in the city. It's when I first got here, I can clearly remember my first time taking a ride out there and being shocked, first of all, at the condition that it is in, but it is a really interesting 9 holes. The green complexes, all the undulation, the chipping areas, all that kind of stuff are unique to this area. It's a wonderful place, not only to play, but especially to practice your game. I think it's a great tool for really, really skilled players as far as that's concerned. And then if you're new to the game, I can't think of a better place to get started. It's really geared for that person that's just getting started. There's not a lot of pressure, you know, a lot of very short holes. And I think the biggest part, you know, the most important part is you can play it in about an hour, which is really helpful in today's world.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. You know, my buddies and I, we love just going out there in the afternoon and taking in nine. Now, you know, Frank will let you know, he's let me know many times, including yesterday, about the hole-in-one. He had it, Big Maloney, one of his three all time. I've never had a hole-in-one, Mike, but I want to know, in your opinion, what is more impressive, Frank's hole-in-one out on the championship course, or when I played the executive course, I eagled both par fours in the same round?
No way.
Which to me is like one of my great golf accomplishments ever. And I don't have many of them, Mike. So.
Oh, boy. I tell you what, I would almost have to lean with that, because that is
I think so.
A little bit more rare.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think we're running out of time for this interview.
Yeah, that's quite an accomplishment.
You know, I didn't even know that, Scott. We'll have to talk about that a little more off air. Mike, I can't thank you enough for being with us. You know, every week we say we really need an hour and a half show, and we have come to the end of the clock. And bingmaloney.com for more information. Mike McGrath, the general manager, thanks much for your hospitality in hosting us the other day, and congratulations on everything you're doing and continued success.
Hey, I really appreciate it, guys. And for the two of you, I mean, thank you for what you guys are doing. This show is great. I listen to it every week. I think we've got so many great stories, you know, the game of golf, especially in Sacramento, and just really happy that you guys are doing this and love being a part of it. What a special thing.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you so much. That wraps up another edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sports 1140 KHDK. For Scott Marsh, I'm Frank LaRosa. Thanks for spending your time with us, and Mike McGrath. We'll be back with you next week.